We're holding on Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, the ninth line. Okay, continuing on the halacha of tzitzis. The Gemara says, turn on our bottom, we learn on a brisa. Talis kfula, a doubled over talis, meaning you have a talis that's twice as long as a talis would normally be. And then you fold it in half, and then you're putting it on. But you have this for tzitzis, so it's going to be chayev and tzitzis, meaning that you would put tzitzis on the, so you would put two tzitzis, you would put tzitzis on the regular corners at one end, and at the other end, you would put tzitzis on the corners that, on what's now the corners while it's folded. Reb Shimon Poter, whereas Reb Shimon says it's Potter. Now there's Machlokas we've shown him, and eventually it comes down to the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, what exactly do we mean that it's Potter? Do we mean Potter as in, do we mean Potter entirely? Because sort of thing, the Nimukah Yosef, for example, points out that it should mean completely Potter in the sense because you can't wear it. It's too long, really, to wear as it is. So Reb Shimon is going to say it's not considered a beggar at all because it's too long, and therefore it would be completely Potter from tzitzis. Rashi, on the other hand, over here, is saying Reb Shimon Poter just means if you were to fold it up, if you were to unfold it, then the tzitzis come out in the middle of it, then it comes out. What you were using as the corners is now really the middle of the beged. So that would imply, in other words, that the Tanakama would be saying that you should put it on what's now the corners, and Reb Shimon would be saying that you don't put it there, you put it on the original corners. The Beis Yosef also learns that way in Reb Shimon's opinion, and eventually it becomes a machlokas aposkim. So you have the Rambam and the Mechaber paskin like Reb Shimon, meaning in other words that you do have to put tzitzis on it, but on the real corners, not on the folded over corners. Whereas again the Nemuka Yosef is saying that it means that it would be completely Potter, and the Ramah brings that. So he says that even though you should put tzitzis on it, you shouldn't say brach on it, says the Ramah. If you have a talus like that that's so long that it has to be folded over to wear, then because in the Mukha Yosef, there's also the question, by the way, part of the question is also, is the halacha like the Chachamim, or is it like the Tanakama, or is it like Reb Shimon? That itself, you have an argument among the poskim, which one the halacha is like, based on the continuation of the Gemara over here. So all told, in other words, then, so the bottom line is, the Mechaber paskins like Reb Shimon, but understands Reb Shimon to mean that you do have to put tzitzis on it, but not on the folded corners, but rather on the real corners, even though now you're folding it in half, and it comes out that those tzitzis are two on top of two, rather than the corners of the folded area do not have tzitzis. That's how the Beis Yosef learns. Whereas Ramah says that you shouldn't say bracha, that if you do that, you shouldn't say bracha on it, and better you should have a normal size talus. So the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Vishtovin, now the Tanakama and Reb Shimon do both agree, Shein Kofla v'Tofra, that if he folded over the talus in half, and he sewed it, so now it's not going to unfold again, then it would definitely be Chayev, because now that he sewed it, it's not going to unfold anymore. So the Gemara says Tofra Pshita. Well, of course, if he sewed it, then it's Poshit, then he should put Tzitzis on the folded corners. What's the Chiddush? And the answer is like Tzricha, the Nakta B'Sichi. The Chiddush would be, let's say, for example, he didn't actually sew it completely. He just put it together he pinned it on one side. Sichi means like pins or like let's say, for example, imagine he safely pinned it on one side. Rashi actually gives two explanations. One is that it means pins, and the other one Rashi says is that it was stitches, but it was basting stitches. Instead of normal stitches, it would be like wide basting stitches. So then the point is, even though it's not really properly sewn, or it's not even sewn together at all because it's just with pins, nevertheless, that's good enough reason to be able to put tzitzis on what's now the four corners of it. Rashi wonders, though, because we did learn at the end of the previous perek, we learned about something like that. We talked about that Haiman de Chayte de Glime, a person who sewed up his garment, and Rashi explained it over there, meaning exactly that, that it means it was too long, and he sewed it. Then we said, the Gemara had actually said there, that no, you could end up taking out the stitches, and that's no good, because then the tzitzis are now going to be in the folded over corners, and now when you unfold it, it's going to be in the middle, rather than that. So in fact, so Rashi wonders then that our Gemara seems to be contradicting that one. In fact, Tosfos does point out over there that that's why that explanation of Rashi doesn't seem to be a proper explanation, precisely because it contradicts this Gemara, and rather it means over there if you just sewed up the corner instead of cutting it off so that it became rounded by sewing rather than by cutting off the fabric, then we're saying that's no good because eventually he'll undo the stitches. But here we're talking about that when the talus itself is folded in half and sewn, then that's fine, the Gemara is saying. Then you can put tzitzis on what's now the corners, because now it's not going to be unfolded again. The Rabbam has a different understanding of it, which is also brought lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch, that it also can mean, suppose that for now it's folded over, now let's say he sewed it up along one side and left the other side unsewn. Nevertheless, that's good enough, because once it's sewn up along one side, then it's not going to be completely unfolded, and therefore now it's valid enough to put tzitzis on the folded corners, both the one corner where it is sewn, as well as the other corner which is completely open, because now at this point it's going to remain that way. Okay. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabba Bar Huna, Ikla Lebei Rava Bar Rav Nachman. Rabba Bar Huna one time visited Rava Bar Rav Nachman, Chazia Davin Michsi Talus Kula, and he saw that Rava Bar Rav Nachman was wearing a talus like that was double the normal length, and he had folded it in half and was wearing it. So now you had, and he had put tzitzis on what's now serving as the four corners, the romile chute ilave kfila, and he put the strings of tzitzis on the folded part. So he had the one set of tzitzis is on the actual corners of the garment, and the other one is on what's now serving as the corners while it's folded. If shita, then it got unfolded after Rava Bar Rav Nachman put it on. Then so Rashi describes that the tzitzis in originally were on what was supposed to serve as the corners, but then when he put it on, then he had the folded side was on his head with those two ends of the talus hanging behind him. So now when it got unfolded, so that he was completely covered with it, now those two tzitzis are not on the corners anymore. Now they're by his head. So now the strings of tzitzis are now by Rava's head. So in other words, now they're in the middle. They're along the length. They're in the middle of the length of the garment, rather than being on the corners like they're supposed to. Omalei, so Rava Bar Huna tells him, Lav Hainu Kosef Konef to Kosef Rachmana Bar Raisa. This is not the corner that Hashem said in the Torah, because this is not the corner. Now this is in the middle of the talus. So now here's where the Beis Yosef points out that if Rabbah holds like Reb Shimon, this is one of the sources to say that we should pass them like Reb Shimon over here, even though usually in a machloikas of the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, usually the halacha would be like the Chachamim, but here the Beis Yosef says the fact that Rabbah Bar Huna is objecting on the basis of Reb Shimon's opinion shows that the halacha should be like Reb Shimon, and he's saying the reason why he didn't object to begin with is because he wanted to demonstrate to him, you know what, here, you yourself see, you shouldn't have done this way, because you see that now the tzitzis are in the middle, and you should have realized to begin with that this wasn't the right way to do it. Now here's where the Rama answers back that no, on the contrary, he holds like the Nemuka Yosef that Reb Shimon would hold the thing as potter from tzitzis altogether. So obviously, therefore, he's saying you have to put tzitzis on it, necessarily he must hold like the Tanakhama, but he's saying this isn't the corner because right now even the Tanakhama it's not going to agree that this is good, because you should have put tzitzis on the actual corners, not on the folded corners. So one way or the other, so two different ways of explaining what happened in this story over here, and whether this shows that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, or whether it in fact shows the halacha is like the Chachamim. In any case, then the Gemara continues with another point that happened as a result of this. Also Shadye, so Rava accepted what Rabba said and took off the talus, v'ichsi glima achriti, and he put instead on a different garment. But Omalei, but Rabba Bar Huna tells him still, Misavras Chovas Gavrahu, are you thinking that the Chiyuv of Tzitzis is only on the person, and therefore, in other words, only when you're wearing a garment is it Chayev and Tzitzis, and therefore you're thinking by taking off the original twice the proper length garment, then that's it, you don't have to worry about Tzitzis on it anymore. No, you should know, Chovas Talishu, it's actually an obligation on the talis, on the beged. So even if you have a piece of clothing like that and you're not planning to wear it again, it's still going to be required in tzitzis, says Rabbi Bar Huna to him. Zil Romi Lo, go put tzitzis on it. Now, you're going to have to put it. Now, so again, if we say the halacha is like Reb Shimon, then he's going to have to, then he's going to tell him, in other words, you're going to have to make sure that you sew it up on one side, like we said before, or sew it with basting stitches or with pins or whatever, so that it will remain permanently that way, and then you can put tzitzis on it properly. Or according to that, according to the Beis Yosef, according to the Ramah, according to Davchei Moshe, it would mean that you have to put tzitzis on the actual proper corners of it and not on the folded corners. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Le. Well, now, this last point then, that Rabba Bahuna is telling Rava Barab Nachman that tzitzis is an obligation on the beged, not on the person. Can we say, Lema Messiah Le, can we say that we can prove Rabba Bahuna's point from the following Braisa, which we learned yesterday? Chasidim Harishonim, we said the early Chasidim, they were eager to do mitzvahs as soon as possible. So, given she'ogu b'sholosh, once they wove three etzbois of the garment, hoy matilin b'tcheles, and immediately they would put tcheles on it. Now, we learned yesterday, first the Gemara had thought, that means once they wove three etzbois of the length of the garment, and then we said, no, it can't mean that, because at that point it's not suitable to be worn as a garment yet. Three etzbois is not wide enough. We said it had the minimum size of a garment for tzitzis. It has to be large enough that a kid could wear it, and three etzbois is not big enough for that. So we said that what it meant was, When it was three etzbois from the end, it meant when they had almost finished weaving it, and there was less than three etzbois left to weave, then at that point they would put tzitzis on it. Well, on the face of it, that shows us that it's a choiv on the beged. Otherwise, why don't they wait till they're about to wear it? So that would seem to prove Rav Bahuna's point. But the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Shiny chassidim machmer anafshayu. It's different when it comes to chassidim because they're extra machmer on themselves. That doesn't mean necessarily that there's an actual obligation to put tzitzis on a beggar that you're not wearing. It may just mean that these chassidim harishonim were machmer on themselves. Okay. Fine. So we don't have a proof to him one way or the other. And the Gemara points out, upligad de malocha. Now, what Rabba Bahuna is saying, that the tzitzis is an obligation on the beged rather than on the person, and that would mean that you have to put tzitzis on a beged even if you're not wearing it, that upliga de malocha, what Rabba Bahuna is saying in that, disagrees with what a malach says on the subject. Now, we don't usually pass to halacha like malachim, but we're going to see then from what the Gemara is saying over here, that in this case we have to take into consideration what a malach is saying. What happened? The malacha achlichel of Katina. One time a malach met up with Rav Katina, and he saw the michnasi sedina. He saw that Rav Katina was wearing a linen wrap. Now, we had the whole discussion yesterday where the linen garments are chayev and sittis. We had a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos and various other rishonim, whether in the end did we say that we had a machlokas v'sham and v'shilol, and we had a machlokas amaroyim and a machlokas of amaroyim and rishonim within that, how to explain it exactly. But anyway, we ended up saying two possibilities: either a linen garment is altogether potter from tzitzis because of the concern that you might put tcheles in it and the tcheles might not really be tcheles, etc., or is it that it's chayiv in tzitzis but you can't put wool tzitzis in it? The most you can do is you would put linen tzitzis in it. So in any case, he didn't have, so according to the two explanations, one would be that it didn't have tzitzis at all, and the other explanation would be that it had tzitzis but it didn't have tcheles. So he's wearing a linen garment. Omale, so the malach tells him, ktina, look at what you're doing over here, he says. Sedina b'kaita. During the summertime you're wearing a linen wrap. And we're saying that it's potter from tzitzis, or if not completely potter, then at least you can't put the best kind of tzitzis on it with tcheles. And the sarbal of a sitva, and then in the wintertime you're wearing a woolen coat which has rounded corners. It actually describes it's a coat similar to the coats that we're familiar with, which has two squared off corners and two rounded corners, and therefore it doesn't have four corners, and therefore it's also potter from tzitzis. So it comes out, in other words, the malach says to Rav Katina, all year round, you're wearing something which is potter from tzitzis. During the summertime, when you don't want to wear wool, then you're wearing linen, and you're wearing a linen wrap, and we're saying over here that it's not, that the possibility that's not chayiv in tzitzis, or at least not in proper tzitzis. And then during the wintertime, you're wearing a coat which is also potter from tzitzis. He calls him twice, Katina, Katina, on the face of it. That's just the way you call a person to get his attention, but, Then Yehoi Yada says that, you know, a person is a person has a lot more mitzvahs by day and fewer mitzvahs by night. So therefore, now he's saying Katrina literally means the small one. So by day, you're supposed to be big by having lots of mitzvahs to do. By night, you can be small because you have fewer mitzvahs. You are being Katrina, you're living up to your name, of being small by day also because you're exempting yourself from an important mitzvah. So, tzitzis shel tchelis, matah he'olah. What's going to be with tzitzis? What's going to be with tzitzis of tchelis? So, in other words, again, the two different opinions. Do we mean that he didn't have tzitzis on it at all? And then he's saying, how is it that you're going your whole life without wearing tzitzis? And according to the other opinion, it means you're putting women strings on it. Very nice. But the fact is, when are you going to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tchelis? Omalei, so if Katina says, so what's the problem? On Shitua Esa, are you going to punish, do you, the based in Shamayla, you were Malach or a member of that, do you in Shamayim punish a person who's failing to do a mitzvah saseh? After all, Tosfos points out, you know, it's one thing, you have what's called mitzvah chiyuvis. You have a mitzvah where you're obligated to do it no matter what. There are certain mitzvahs, it's not if I'm in the situation then I have to do it, and if not, then not. There are certain mitzvahs where you have to do no matter what. Those kind, in fact, Tosfos brings from other Gemaras that based it, that forget about Shemayim, based in here on earth, can beat a person and force him to do those mitzvahs. A person doesn't want to eat matzah on Pesach, based in can beat him and force him to eat matzah. And the same thing with a lot of other mitzvahs. But here, Reb Katina is arguing, after all, it's only a mitzvah. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you have to wear tzitzis. Do you punish people in Shemayim for failing to do that, for failing to get themselves a four-cornered garment and put tzitzis on it? So what's the problem? I happen to be wearing garments that are part of from tzitzis. What's the problem? Amalei. So the Malach answers him, you should know, in normal times, fine, not. But in a time when there's anger, min hashamayim, at people who are not being careful with mitzvahs, and shina, and then in fact, says the Malach, we do in fact punish in shamayim somebody who had the opportunity to do a mitzvah so easily and failed to do it. So you're technically what you're doing is certainly allowed, but you should know that in Shemayim they're not going to be happy with you. We're not going to be happy with you for doing that. In fact, actually, when Tosfos is saying over here that mitzvahs that a person is obligated to regardless, and Tosfos is saying even based in here on earth would punish a person for it, so the Ritzvah actually argues with that. He says, for example, let's say a person fails to hear Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, then Hashem would punish him at a time when there's anger, at a time when anyway Hashem is angry with what the Jewish people are doing, then Hashem would punish a person for that, implying, in other words, the Ritzvah is saying in normal times a person might not be punished from Shemayim for that either. Okay. So now, what can we prove from what the Malach is saying? And the idea is, the Maharal explains, listen, you know, in other words, a person is supposed to be going higher and higher in mitzvah. So if a person is missing out opportunities to do a mitzvah, then in a time of Hashem's anger, when Hashem is anyway in a mood, so to speak, of punishing the world, in a mode of punishing the world, then Hashem is going to take it out on him as well. And the same Maharsha says similarly, at a time, the Idan Rizka, at a time of Hashem's anger like that, a tzaddik is supposed to be doing extra Torah and mitzvahs to protect the generation. So not as the Gemara is going to say soon, you don't find excuses to pater yourself from a mitzvah, and therefore the Malach is telling Rav Katina, you being one of the tzaddikim of the generation, you're responsible to be doing extra mitzvahs and not to try to find evasive ways of getting around it. Okay. So now, what can we prove from that, says the Gemara? It's easy to understand if you say that tzitzit is an obligation on the person. Well then, Hashem might punish him for the fact that he failed to put tzitzit on. Because after all, it's a choyvus gavra in the sense, the same way as, let's say, you have to put on tefillin and heal shofar and do all these other kinds of mitzvahs, the same way you would have an obligation to wear tzitzit when possible. And therefore, the Malach is criticizing him that you're doing that. Eli amat choyvus talus. But we just said a few lines ago that Rabbi Bar Huna had held that it's choyvas talus, it's an obligation on the talus, meaning even if you're not wearing it, then you're obligated to put tzitzis on it. But the fact is, holei mechayva, the fact is, his linen wrap and his winter coat, neither of them are chayv in tzitzis. So then, what's the problem? Why is the Malach criticizing him? Now the chiddush of Yochasim LaRashba wonders then what's Rav Katina's question in the first place. And in that case, of course, then of course, if a person doesn't put on tefillin or take a lulav or whatever, of course he's going to be punishable. So the chiddush of Yochasim LaRashba discusses that point. What was Rav Katina thinking exactly? But in any case, the Gemara seems to approve. Therefore, that so the Gemara is saying on the face of it, what we understand from what we can infer from what the Malach is saying seems to be that in fact it is a choivus gavra, it's an obligation on the person, and therefore he's telling Rav Katina, how could you be then try to be finding ways to exempt yourself from the mitzvah? So the Gemara answers, Elamai choivus gavra hu. So what are you telling me then? Fine, you're going to tell me that tzitzis is an obligation on the person. Still, nehi dechayv rachmana kimichsi talis debas chiyuva. Sure, Hashem is mechayiv him when he's wearing a garment which is obligated in tzitzis. But if he happens to be wearing a talus that's not chayev, like his linen wrap and like his wool coat, mi chayve rachmana, is Hashem mechayev him? In other words, fine, it's chayvas, even if you're going to say it's chayvas gavra, but again, it's not like, for example, tefillin, where you have an absolute obligation to wear tefillin. It's more, if you have a beged that is chayev in tzitzis, then you have to put tzitzis on it. But where do we find that there's an obligation specifically to get a beged and put tzitzis on it? There doesn't seem to be. So we can say Hachi Karmalei, the Malach, you can't really prove from the Malach statement one way or the other whether he holds that it's Chovas Gavra, an obligation on the person, or Chovas Talus, or whether it's an obligation on the Talus, meaning even if you're not wearing it, but you can understand Hachi Karmalei, you can understand the Malach is telling him, Tatsiki Lemiska Nashach Mitzitzis, are you trying to come up with strategies and evasive ways to potter yourself from Tzitzis, that you're always wearing a beggar that's potter from Tzitzis, and therefore, and then at a time of Hashem's anger, you're not going to be protected by the mitzvah. There's different gersois over here whether we have the word Ella. According to Rashi, the word Ella belongs in here, which is why we have it in the Gemara. In that case, according to Rashi, it means the Gemara is saying, you thought to prove from the Malach statement that it's Chovas Gavra, but the truth is we can't prove that one way or the other. Maybe the Malach is implying that it's Chovas Gavra, but maybe he's also implying that it's Chovas Talis. Either way, though, you can still understand the Malach to be saying that, you know what, Rav Katina, you have no business all the time wearing a beged that is potter from tzitzis, and thereby constantly making yourself potter from the mitzvah. As opposed to Tosfos takes out the word Ella, which means, in other words, that still the Gemara is still sticking with the explanation that it is Chovas Gavra, which means that it disagrees with Rav Bahuna, who said that it's Chovas Talis. However, what we're saying is, still, the fact is, it has to be Chovas Gavra. Otherwise, if it was Chovas Talis, you can't even talk about punishing a person for failing to do it. It has to be that it's a Chov on the person. So it's true, technically, a person could go his whole life without wearing such a beged, but nevertheless, there is, to us, the Malach is informing him that there is a certain obligation to get such a beged and put tzitzis on it. So that was primarily in those times where, anyway, most people wore four-cornered garments, and therefore, so now if Rav Katina is deliberately wearing garments, or at least this is the Malach accuses him of that he's constantly wearing garments that for one reason or another are potter from tzitzis, whether because they don't have four corners or whether because they're made out of linen, as we talked about before, then therefore Hashem would be upset with him for that. As opposed to in later times, the posts we talk about, eventually styles changed, and it was not common for people to wear four-cornered garments, then at that point, everybody would agree, even the Malach, the Pashtos, would agree that you're not specifically obligated to go buy a four-cornered garment in order to put tzitzis on it. Nevertheless, the universal minhag of Jews became to do just that, to specifically get a four-cornered garment in order to be mekayim in the mitzvah of tzitzis, and that way do, as the Malach is saying over here, that way have extra protection from Hashem. And in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in one of his Trubas that, listen, once it became regular Minhag Yisrael, then it's like any other Minhag Yisrael, in the sense you can't just discard it anyhow. But the point is, in other words, so that's how the Minhag developed. That's how the Minhag developed to always have a beged for tzitzis, even in our times where we don't customarily wear such clothing, but specifically to buy such a piece of clothing in order to have the mitzvah of tzitzis. It comes out, though, from Rashi versus Tosfos that there's not necessarily have we proved one way or the other what the underlying mitzvah of tzitzis is. Is it chovas gavra? Is it an obligation on the person? Or is it, which Tosfos says that the Gemara has concluded that it still is, or according to Rashi, the Gemara at this point is not sure whether it's that or whether it's chovas talis, whether it's an obligation on the talis. In practice, the poskim paskin that a talis or any other kind of beged that you're not actually planning to wear is in fact potter from tzitzis. So it's really more a choiv on the person. If you are going to wear a four cornered garment, then it has to have tzitzis on it. So the Gemara continues. Omer of Tuli bar Kisna Omer Shmuel Klei Kufsa Chayovin Betzitzis. The clothing that's kept in a box or a drawer or something like that of Chayovin Betzitzis, he says. Umoyde Shmuel Bezokin Shasalach Moyde. However, Shmuel does agree when it comes to clothing that's made for an elder person, for an elder Talmud Chacham, for his kavod, meaning for Tachrichin. Shapturah, that would be potter. In other words, when it comes to clothing that's kept in a drawer or something, so Shmuel would say, even though it's just put in a drawer, it's still chayiv and tzitzis because any time you could wear it. And therefore, it can still be called asher techasaba, it's clothing that you're going to wear. But now, when you have clothing that's going to be used for techrichim, then Shmuel would agree that it is potter from tzitzis. My time, why is that? Because asher techasaba, Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, the clothing that you cover yourself with, v'hai, lav l'ksuya vida, this, the tachrichim are not meant for living people to wear. It could conceivably happen that a person might wear it while he's alive, but ordinarily it's reserved for the mess. The Gemara, by the way, elsewhere discusses in Sanhedrin, if you designated it for the mess, doesn't necessarily, once it's actually used to dress the mess in, it becomes also bahana. But before that, it's not actually also bahana. So a person could conceivably wear it, but it's not set aside for that purpose. A person, most people, generally speaking, you're not going to have tachrichim worn by a living person before they're used for the mess. So therefore, it's not called asher techasaba. The person is going to be dressed in it after they passed away, but at that point, they're potter from mitzvahs. So it's potter. Nevertheless, when they actually dress the mess in tachrichim, vado to min and lay, then at that point, definitely, the Gemara continues, you should put tzitzis on it, mishum loyig l'rosh chedef oisehu, because as the pasuk says, the one who mocks the dead, the one who mocks the poor is making fun, is mocking the one who made, is blaspheming the one who made him. In other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like, if a person mocks a poor person and puts him down, then really he's blaspheming Hashem who made that poor person. But all over Shas, we understand that the real Rosh, the real poor person over here, is the dead person who can no longer do mitzvahs. So now, if you put a four-cornered garment on him, and you don't put tzitzis on it, then it amounts to that you're making fun of him, ha-ha, we can do mitzvahs and you can't. So therefore, we should put tzitzis on it. Now, Tosfos refers over here to something that they explain in Masechta Nida, that it's one thing the Gemara discusses in Nida, you are allowed to make tachrichim out of kilayim. Now, that's not loyig l'rosh, even though you're not allowed to wear kilayim. So Tosfos over there explains that tzitzis, being such a tremendously great mitzvah, then it would be a big bizoyan to the mess. So therefore you should do it. Tosfos also discusses over there that actually the fact is it's not the minhag developed in later times not to do that. We don't in fact put tzitzis on tachrichim for a mess. So in fact they would take it off. They would put the tachrichim on, but then they would take them off. So as the Tosfos discusses over there, in the time of the Chachamim, where everybody wore tzitzis, then if you don't wear tzitzis after their death, then it would be a big bizoyan to them. It would be saying, who he doesn't need tzitzis anymore. Nowadays, so Tosfos says, in their times, not everybody wore tzitzis, so if you put tzitzis on him, on the contrary, it would be loyig l'rosh. You're saying that he didn't keep it when he was alive, but now he's keeping it. And then you don't want to start distinguishing and saying some people you should, some people you shouldn't. Lamaisa, nowadays everybody does wear tzitzis. So therefore some different minhagim developed in different places. In most of the Jewish world, in most of the Jewish world, the minhag is, we do put, when they dress a mess in tachrichim, they do in fact put tzitzis on it, but afterwards, in keeping with what Tosfos says that we don't, then what we do is, what they do is they tie the tzitzis together, or they fold them inside the corners. Some people have the minhag to take off one tzitzah or to passel it, and then the minhag in Yerushalayim is actually not to bury the mason in tzitzis at all, but in most of the Jewish world, the minhag is you do bury in tzitzis, however they do something to the tzitzis afterwards to show like they're not real full-fledged tzitzis. So that way we're mekayim both opinions. Okay. The Gemara continues. New din. Omer Rach ba'omer Rav Yehuda. Talus chenikra chutz l'sholosh. If a talus where you haven't yet put tzitzis on it, so chenikra, if it got ripped near the corner. So chutz l'sholosh, if it's outside of the last three etzbos before the edge, yitpo, then no problem, you can sew it up. B'soich sholosh, but if it was within three etzbos of the edge, lo yitpo, then Rachba says you should not tear it up. You should not sew it up. Why is that? Because like this, Rashi explains, we talked about before that conceivably, after you sew up something near the corner of the beged, a person might think to himself, you know what, there are strings hanging over here, let me repurpose them for tzitzis. And that's no good, because that would be tas of olaymina osri, as we learned before. However, since, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, on Amud Beis, you anyway have to put tzitzis no more than three etzbos from the corner, then therefore, if you're sewing an area more than three etzbos from the corner, then there's no problem, and you're able to... And you're able to sew it over there, and we're not worried about that you might use the remaining thread and think that it's tzitzis. But he's saying if it's within three etzbos, you shouldn't sew it up because then the person might mistakenly think that now he can make those strings that are hanging do double duty and have them serve as tzitzis as well, and that would be no good because tassav lemin osu. Nowadays that people don't do that kind of thing, so they talk about there may not be such an issue with it. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in Braisa, Talus Shenikra Chutz L'Sholosh, if it was torn more than three tefachim away from the edge, Yitper, then you can sew it. Toich Sholosh, but if it's within three etzbos from the edge, then Rav Meir Omer Lo Yitper V'Chom Omer Yitper. So Rav Meir says that at that point you can't sew it, and the Chachamim say you could. Now, usually, of course, the halacha would be like the Chachamim. So first of all, there is a girsa among the Beis Yosef brings that the Mukhi Yosef has the girsa the other way around. The Chachamim are saying don't sew it, and Rav Meir said you could sew it, so then the halacha is like the Chachamim. But the Beis Yosef also brings that there's something called halacha k'Rav Meir b'gzeirosav, even though generally the halacha is like the Chachamim against Rav Meir, but when it comes to gzeiros that we do in order that people should not make a mistake in halacha, then generally the halacha is like Rav Meir. Here we're talking about a gzeira, because a person might think that you're allowed to take those hanging threads and use them as tzitzis, and therefore Rav Meir is saying don't do that because that's a gzeira, and therefore that would be reason to paskin like Rav Meir. So this is here we're talking about, though, when the tzitzis weren't put on yet. When the tzitzis were put on, then that's something else, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that further on. So the Braisa continues. V'shovin, they do both agree, both the mayor and the Chachamim do agree, Shalayovi afilo amal amim, makam acho, v'atcheles, that you cannot bring a piece of cloth, even if it's an amma by an amma, which is big enough to be a talus all by itself, you cannot bring another piece of cloth like that from a different talus that already has tzitzis on it, the tolaba, and apply that to this one. Because again, they were only meant for the previous talus. So now it's again talus of lemina osri. So this corner, the, even this amma by amma, was not part of the original beged when the tzitzis were originally applied to it, and therefore, uh, uh, and, and therefore, and therefore it would be possible. Now you're taking a corner with tzitzis on it that belonged to a different beged, and you're trying to apply it with this one, and it doesn't work. So when it comes to, in other words, Sotah Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing when the rip was within three etzbaos of the corner, whether you can sew it up. Rav Meir is concerned that you might then think that you can use the threads for tzitzis as well, and the Chachamim disagree with that. But when you have an actual, that's when the tzitzis were not applied yet. But now when the tzitzis are applied to take that piece from one beged and apply it to another, then you can't do that. As far as this matter of sewing it, by the way, when we're saying even if the halacha is like Rav Meir, so the Alter Rebbe discusses and says that it would only apply really if you're using sewing thread which is capable of being used for tzitzis. Nowadays, for example, people don't use wool thread, so therefore there's much less of an issue with it. And also, he talks about that even then it would only apply if it was white thread, because even though we're going to talk about on Omid Beis, we're going to talk about what color the non-tchelas threads should be. In practice, people usually use white threads, and therefore, if they use colored thread, then there's much less of a chance that they're going to mistakenly think that it's tzitzis. But anyway, here we're saying something else that you do, that's when the tzitzis weren't placed on the beged yet, but once the tzitzis were placed on, and now you were to take a piece from one beged with the tzitzis still attached, and attach it to this one, then no good. Both the mayor and the chacham agree that's no good. The shoven, but now they do agree on a different din. On the other hand, you would be allowed to take tchelas off of one beged and untie the strings from one beged and place it on the other one, because now it's not tasav le minaasi, because after all you have to rewind it and retie it. So therefore, there's no minaasi. When we're talking about you have a whole amma by an amma from one beged and then you attach it to another one. So now the tzitzis is already attached and you haven't done anything to the tzitzis themselves, but now you're doing something to the tzitzis themselves. So therefore, that would be fine. Ovovad shaloi tehem ufsekis. However, says the Braisa, provided that it's not broken off, meaning that all of these strings are long enough for the purpose. Now, Tosfos wonders, what's the chiddush of that? Of course the strings have to be long enough. So of course the strings have to be long enough. The Shittim Kobetzis and the Beis Yosef explained, we learned a few days ago about the various cases where strings are broken off, and we said they can be kosher even up to a certain, down to a certain minimum size. We talked about kedei aniva, long enough to be able to make a bow tie with them. But that means, in other words, when you already have tzitzis on the beged, and one or more of the strings break off and reach that length, then it's still kosher because they were already there in the first place. But here we're talking about putting tzitzis newly on a beged, then the strings have to be long enough to begin with, and you cannot use this idea, well, they're long enough to be for the original beggar, therefore they're good enough for this one also. That won't work. So that is the chiddush of that statement. Okay, the Gemara says, Shamat Mina. Now, does that prove from this Braisa, Matirin mi beged le beged, that you're allowed to take tzitzis off of one beged and place them on another? Because that's what the Braisa is saying, that you could take tchelas from one beged and untie it from there and retie it onto another beged, and that's allowed. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss soon that point. You're going to have a machloikas rav and shmuel, whether you're allowed to do that. So this Braisa seems to be demonstrating that you are allowed to do that. Like, my answer is no. Duma di ibaloi. Maybe what the braisa means is when the first garment is so worn out that you can't, in other words, why would it be, what would be the idea behind that you can't, according to the opinion, that you can't take tzitzis off one beged and place it on another? Because it would be a bizoyan to the first beged that, here it's perfectly still capable of being worn and you're taking the tzitzis off it. But when it's, when you can't wear it anymore anyway because it's so worn out, then there's certainly no problem taking off the tzitzis strings from it and applying them to another one. So that would be the case the Braisa is talking about, not necessarily where the first beged is still intact enough to wear. So the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Let's talk more about these dinim of the strings of tzitzis, and then we're going to get back to this matter of matir. So in connection with what we're going to learn over here, in this next little piece over here, we're going to discuss this quite more about this question of taking strings of tzitzis off one beged and placing them on another. So the Gemara says, turn on our bottom. Talus should call a tchelis. If you have a talus, that's all tchelis. So we talked about that off and on the last couple of dafim. So now we said a talus would usually be white. And then you would have some of the strings would be white and some of them would be tchelis. We talked about at the beginning of the parak, a three-way machlokas, we're showing him how many strings are tchelis. According to the Rambam, half of one string. So it comes out one of the eight hanging strings. According to the Raivad, it would be two of the hanging strings, one complete string, and according to Rashi and Tosfos, it would be two out of the original four strings, the four out of the eight hanging ones. Anyway, so now, but that's when you have a white garment. In the same way, as we're going to talk about soon, let's say, for example, at least the straightforward understanding would be, for example, that a red garment should have red strings and tchelis strings and so forth. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now, when you have a talus, which is all tchelis, so now you can't do that because you can't have, if you're going to have two strings of white and two strings, you can't have two strings, you have to have two strings of tchelis and two more of tchelis, and you can't do that. Rashi points out that after all, you have the mitzvah is supposed to be that you have two different colors over there. So therefore, kol mitzvon in potrin ba, so you could use any other color for the white strings. Usually the strings are supposed to match the color of the talus, but here you don't have to do that. Chutzmi kola ilan, the exception is you can't use kola ilan, which is indigo, because then you won't have two colors. Actually, Rashi gives two explanations. The first explanation, that's the second explanation of Rashi. The first explanation, Rashi says, because kola ilan, indigo, resembles tchelis so much so that in fact the Gemara is going to tell us later on, a chemical test that you need to do in order to be able to tell them apart. So therefore, Rashi's first explanation is, if you have a talus, which is tchelis, and you were to take now, let's say you have all the four strings on each corner, or tchelis, or if two of them are kola ilan and two of them are tchelis, what's going to happen is, the person you sell it to is not going to realize that. He's going to think all four of them are tchelis. Now he might take some of the strings from it. He might think, you know what, I have a different beggar that needs tchelis. Let me take some of the strings off this one and apply them to that one. And he's not going to realize that not all of them are tchelis and some of them are kola ilan. So now it comes out, and specifically, and especially then if it's a linen garment and he has linen tzitzis on it, or if it's any garment, and we learned before that linen tzitzis are good for any garment, then he's going to be doing kalayim without a mitzvah. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi's second explanation is, and Rashi prefers the second explanation, is that the Torah requires us that we should have two different colors in the tzitzis, and here you have kola ilan and tchelas look exactly the same. That would particularly be according to Rebbe at the beginning of the parak, where we said according to Rebbe, you need both tchelas and lavan. So you can't use kola ilan in this case, so you would have to use, when the talus itself is tchelas, the two other strings, the white strings, what are supposed to be white, can be any color except kola ilan. So the Gemara says, Meisvi, now I have a contradiction. Another Braisa says, usually, by the way, Meisvi is not usually used for a contradiction between one Braisa and another, usually Rira Minu. Meisvi is usually when an Amora says something, and we're going to contradict him from a Braisa. In any case, here we have another Braisa that says, talus en poter ba elamina. When it comes to a talus, the only thing that patters it is its min, is the same type as it. Meaning, in other words, that it should be the same. So Rashi explains that that's what it means, the same color as the talus. So if it's a red talus, then the white strings have to actually be red instead of white. Tosfos asks, though, we learned a few dafim ago when we talked about the matter of tchelas and white. We learned over there that Rava had said the expression midi tziva garim. Does the color really matter? So therefore, why would Rashi be saying that it's an absolute obligation that, for example, a red talus has to have red strings in place of white? So rather, Tosfos says maybe it's only d'rabbanan because zek keli man zehu. Then Tosfos gives a different explanation that it means that it patters only if it's the same type of fabric as the beged. Because like we learned the other day, for example, a silk talus, you can't put cotton strings on it, or vice versa. We talked about that wool or linen threads patter any kind of talus, but so therefore it wouldn't be dafka, but it would mean, in other words, that, for example, silk, your choices are wool, linen, as far as fits, it's strings, are wool, linen, or silk, but nothing else. And the same thing, let's say cotton, your choices are wool, linen, or cotton, and so forth. So that would be another meaning of ein poter ba elamina. The Ravid answers Tosfos' question on Rashi and says, fine, there's a difference. That Rava was talking about before when he said the color doesn't make a difference. He meant as far as whether you put in the Tchela strings first or the white strings first. That doesn't matter. But Rava would agree that you do have to have the right color, and therefore that a red talus has to have red strings and so forth. Okay. In any case, so the Braisa says, so in Portobellamina, and the Braisa says, talus trikula tchelas, when the talus is all tchelas, maybe tchelas the dover acher, then you bring threads of tchelas, strings of tchelas, and strings of something else, of some other color, the tolaba, and you can hang them on it, and that's kosher tzitzis. The kola ilan lo yavi. Now you should not use kola ilan. You should not use indigo dyed threads. Lachatchila the imhevi kosher. But if he did, then b'di'evit it's kosher. Whether according to Rashi's first explanation that we're not concerned that the person that a future buyer of this talus is going to think that those kola ilan threads are actually tchelas and reuse them thinking that they're tchelas, or whether we go according to the second opinion that it just means that we don't have two contrasting colors. Either way, the braisa is saying b'di'evit it's kosher. So then the first braisa says that it's possible, whereas the second one says b'di'evit it's kosher. So the answer is Amun of Nachmeisach like Kasha can be talus basar ba chutin. The braisa that said that's possible was talking about where you only have four strings. So when it only has four strings, according to Rashi's first explanation, then you only have exactly enough strings, and therefore, so now when somebody else is going to take the talus and want to use strings from it for a different one, he may mistakenly take the tchelas ones, and he may mistakenly take the kola ilan ones where really there's tchelas. According to Rashi's second and preferred explanation, the verdict is when you only have four strings, then the Torah insists that you should have two contrasting colors. Tan b'talus v'as shmona chutin, as opposed to the second braisa is talking about if it already has the proper number of strings, it already has four of tchelas, and now he wants to add four more of kola ilan. Rashi's explanation rather is the other way around. When you have, it's only, Rashi's first explanation is when the talus has only four strings on each corner, like we're familiar with, then it's kosher to have two of them be tchelas and two of them be kola ilan. That would be the second braisa. But the first braisa that said this puzzle is talking about you already have four tchelas strings, then you apply another four kola ilan strings. So now, and you want to do that in order that you should have the two different contrasting colors. The problem is, now that you have a full complement of four of kola ilan, so now the problem is that a person might take the tchelas only off this one, and now you have only kola ilan left, and then you're not yotze the mitzvah anymore, or vice versa. You might take only the kola ilan ones and put them on a different beged, and now you have only kola ilan on the other one. So according to that explanation of Rashi, if it's four strings, then it's fine to have two kola ilan and two tchelas. But if you have eight strings, then you have to have them. Then you cannot have kola ilan. Then the four that are not tchelas have to be some contrasting color. According to Rashi's second and preferred explanation, if you have four strings, then it's fine, even if the extra ones are, if you have four of which of tchelas and something else, then there's no problem. You could add more color ilan threads. But if you have exactly four, then you can't, because then you're not going to have the proper number, because then you have to have, there has to be at least four strings of, there has to be four strings of contrasting colors, and here you don't have that because two are tchelas and two are color ilan. So those are the two ways that Rashi explains what we're saying over here in the Gemara. So the Gemara continues. Shamat mina matirin beged lebeged. Does this also show that you could take tzitzis off one beged and use them on another? Because otherwise, what's the problem? If we're saying the concern is he might take strings from one and put them on the other, and he's taking only the kola ilan, or he's taking only the tchelas and leaving this one with only kola ilan, that implies that you're not allowed to take off strings off one. That implies that you could take strings off one and put them on the other, and as we're going to say in a second, Rav holds you cannot. So what's the problem? Achronim talk about that, again, this is another reason. We have the two different explanations of Rashi of the sugya. Whether we're talking about that he starts out with four, whether we're talking about that he starts out with eight. But so the question, so this question would really be only according to Rashi's second and preferred explanation. The idea is, in other words, Rav would say it's not a bizoyin to the begin, because it still has, still going to have afterwards the full number of strings, but it's a bizoyin for the tzitzis, because they could have been used for this talus, and now you're putting other strings instead, so it means, in other words, that you're making a bizoyin for the strings. So according to Rav, that shouldn't be allowed, and yet the Braisa is saying it's allowed. And the answer is Dilma de'i Ovan. Maybe the Braisa means not that you're not, not that you should do that in Chatchila, but if you did it, then we have to discuss what are the din are, what the din are, that there might be kilayim or there might be a lack of tchelas or whatever involved over here. We're not saying, though, that you could do that in Chatchila, because in fact, according to Rav, you cannot. Okay. So, more on this discussion. Now let's get to that actual discussion. Itman, Rav Oma Ein Matirin Mibeged LeBeged. Rav says you cannot untie tzitzis from one beged to place on another beged because it would be bizoyin to the first one. Because again, what do you mean? You're taking the tzitzis off the first one, and if you don't reuse the tzitzis, then it's even worse. Then it's a bizoyin to the tzitzis themselves. But even if you do put them on another beged, then the argument is it's still a bizoyin because they were perfectly still usable on the first beged. And how could you just take them off? So Rav says you can't do that. Ushmol on Raturin the beged Shmuel says you're perfectly allowed to do that. You could he would agree that you have to put them on another beged, but he would say the fact that you took them off one beged is not so bad. Similarly, the Gemara mentions two other similar machlokas in of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Oma Ein Madlikin Miner Lener. Rav says you're not allowed to light one candle of the menorah on Hanukkah from a different one. So in other words, you lit one candle, which is why we have to use a shamash. The Gemara actually discusses in Shabbos, is the problem because of bizui mitzvah, because, in other words, let's say, for example, you're taking a match or a chip of wood or something, and you're lighting from one candle to light the other. The problem is you're taking the candle, the first candle, which has kedusha, and you're using it to light some kind of mundane thing, which is, you're using it to light some kind of mundane thing, or a chip of wood, which is not part of the mitzvah. So is that the problem? Or the other problem is, at Hoshe mitzvah, it's almost like you're weakening the first mitzvah, because you're making it look like you're taking a little bit from the first one. And the Gemara explains in Nafkamina is it, can you light one candle directly from the other according to Rav? Or would Rav only disallow it only if you're using a chip of wood? So the Masana, the Gemara concludes over there that you would in fact be allowed to light one from the other, even according to Rav. The problem is only using a chip or a match or something like that, which is not part of the Neir of Chanukah. Anyway, so Rav holds you're not allowed to do that. Well, Shmuel Amamad looking me near the Neir, Shmuel says you are allowed to. And here also the poskim argue whether Shmuel means that you're, that in the end, the Gemara is going to say the halacha is like Shmuel in this case, but does that mean you can light directly from one to the other, but not with a chip, or do we say that Shmuel would allow it even with a chip? In practice, though, this is why we use a shamash, and we light all the Neiris Hanukkah using the shamash, and that way we avoid the whole question. A third machlokas has to do with Hilchos Shabbos. We know one of the malachas of Shabbos is chodesh, is digging up the ground. What about, for example, if a person is dragging something which may or may not dig up the ground? Rav Oma Ein Halacha K'Rav Shimon B'Gurira. Rav holds the halacha is not like Rav Shimon as far as dragging a bench. So even though Rav Shimon would hold that it's allowed because it's Dover She'enim Eskaven, you don't intend to dig up the dirt, and you're not necessarily going to, and Rav Shimon holds therefore such a thing as Mutar on Shabbos, Rav says the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and therefore it would be also to do that. Whereas Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon, as far as dragging, and you would be allowed to drag it as long as it's not psik reisha. It can't be that it's a heavy bench, where inevitably it's going to be dig up the dirt, but it can be a lighter bench where you might or might not, and you're not intending to dig up the dirt, and Reb Shimon would allow it. So Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon in that. So the Gemara says, Omar Abaya, kol mili demar, everything that my Rebbe did, when Abaya says my Rebbe without specifying, he means Rabba, who was his uncle and his Rebbe. And Rabba, in fact, raised him as well because Abaya was an orphan. Anyway, all of what my Rebbe did, Ovid to Rav, he would always follow Rav's opinion, Lava Mahani Plas to Ovid to Shmuel, with the exception of these three things where he would follow Shmuel, the Machlokes. And we just said, Matsurin Begad the Begad, you are allowed to untie tzitzis from one beged and put it on another, and it's not considered a bizoyin. Umad likin min ner l'ner. You are allowed to, Tosfos compares it, by the way, the same way, for example, as you can, you have a similar kind of thing as far as taking off a mezuzah from a house. The Gemara mentions in Bava Basra that if you're moving out of a house and a yid is going to be moving in there, you're not allowed to take off the mezuzah. So you have to leave it to him. But over here, when it comes to tzitzis, Shmuel would say, though, you are allowed to take it off. Because look, if you only have one talis, better you should put the tzitzis on the one that you plan to put on. Because even if Shmuel holds that even ones that are in a drawer are higher than tzitzis, but look, if you only have one set of tzitzis strings available, better at least you should put them on the one you're going to be wearing rather than the one that's going to be sitting in the drawer. So now, Rabba would do like that. Rabba would take off tzitzis from one garment and put them on another, and he held that was allowed, like Shmuel. He also held you're allowed to light one Hanukkah candle from another, with or without a chip, as the poskim disagree. The halacha could have shimon legura, and the halacha is like the shimon regarding dragging benches or furniture like that. The Tanya, as we learn in a brayse, the shimon omer gur adam mita kisiv esafsol. A person would be allowed on Shabbos to drag a bed or a chair or a bench or eventually skaven lasas choras, as long as he doesn't intend to make grooves in the ground, because it's called davar she'en miskaven, and Reb Shimon holds such a thing as potter on Shabbos. As far as this matter, by the way, of 4 versus 8 strings, which the Gemara has just mentioned, and the Gemara is going to go on to talk about, the Gemara is going to go on later on to talk about the different numbers of strings that you have in tzitzis. We, of course, have 4 doubled over to make 8, but we're going to see later in the Gemara that there were different menhagim on it. Tosfos discusses in some detail at the beginning of the perek that there may be, when we talk about over here having more strings, having some kola ilan and some tchelas and all that, Tosfos discusses, are we talking about where you might have 2 different tzitzis, each one containing 4 strings on the one corner, or are we talking about one that has, or are we talking about one big one that has extra, where it has extra strings in it? Now, you do have an issue of Baal Tosif, you're not allowed to add to the mitzvah, but one thing, Tosfos argues, one possibility is maybe the mitzvah is, you can have anywhere between 4 and 8 strings, it's not considered Baal Tosif unless you have more than 8, and therefore we're going to have further on, we're going to have Amiroyim, who actually did do 8 strings and doubled them over to form 16, and therefore in the same way when we talked before about Tchelis and Kola Ilan, conceivably, we could be talking about where he actually has in the same windings and knots and all of that. He has 2 of Tcheles and 2 of Kola Ilan and 4 of something else, let's say. More on the subject of tzitzis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Mosulei Lekatzra. Rabbi Yehuda would give his talus to a goyish laundryman. He wasn't concerned that Tchelas threads might break, and the guy is instead going to put on Kola Ilan threads. He wasn't concerned about that. On the other hand, Rav Chanina, when he would go give his talus to a goyish laundryman, he would roll up the tzitzis into a bowl. So this way, they won't break in the first place. And Ravina Chayit Lahum Mecha. Ravina, if he gave his talus to a laundryman, maybe not a goyish laundryman necessarily, just a laundryman. Ravina, if he gave his talus to a laundryman to wash for him, Chayit Lahum Mecha, he would sew the tzitzis into the sides of the garments. He would fold over an end of the garment to make a hem and sew the tzitzis inside it. And later on, after he got it back from the laundry, then he would take out those stitches and have the tzitzis hang free again. In other words, Rav Chanina and Ravina are both concerned that the laundryman might replace the tchelas with kol elon, whereas Rav Yehuda was not concerned about that. There are Rishonim who say that maybe you shouldn't give a talus, at least a talus that's used back then. Again, their talus was not necessarily specifically used for the mitzvah. It was just the normal garment they wore. So there are Rishonim who say that maybe you shouldn't be giving it to a goyish laundryman in the first place. Maybe that would be considered a bizoyan to the tzitzis. On the other hand, the poskim don't accept that, and they say it's fine to give it to a goyish laundryman. And nowadays that we don't have tchelas, then of course there's no issue of him replacing the tchelas anyhow. Gemara says, "Turn around, Bonham. We learn in a brayse. Kama chutin hu noisin. How many strings do you put in tzitzis? Beshama imim alba or beshilo imim shloisha. Beshama says 4 strings, like what we're familiar with, and beshilo says and beshilo says 3. So where do they get them from, respectively? So we learned earlier in the perek, we said that the Torah says gedil, and it says gedilim." So therefore, Gdil means two that are twisted together, and Gdilim would mean twice that would be four. So Beis Shammai says therefore that's where you get four. On the other hand, Beis Hillel does not learn that way. They say. So one explanation, Tosfos explains is that one explanation, Tosfos says is that maybe the Sillo holds that Sill means that the word Gdil would be one, and then when it says Gdilim would be two, and Psil Techelos would be a third one. So they learn that way, and they would say that even one string, after all, if you fold it, then you could twist it together. Tosfos discusses several other possibilities where exactly the silo would hold, and other possibilities they just learned from the word gdil. The word gdil means a blade, and a normal blade consists of three. So Tosfos goes through a few possibilities where Beis Hillel gets their opinion from, as opposed to Beis Shammai would hold that it means four. Tosfos elsewhere discusses also, does Beis Shammai mean that you have to have two tchelas and two white, or do they mean four tchelas and four white, and then you double them over and you make 16? Tosfos elsewhere discusses that question. It comes out, actually, Tosfos says, now this is one of those rare cases where the halacha is actually like the shama, as we know. We don't do three strings and tzitzis. We do four. But Tosfos says it could even be, if we have that understanding of Bishamai, maybe we would say Bishamai holds that you need 16 only when you have tchelas. We only have white strings, so therefore even Bishamai would agree maybe that you need only eight. But the Gemara goes on to talk about later. We'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, that actually there's a different reason why we have eight strings. But in any case, this is one of those rare cases where the halacha is like the Shammai. Next. The Gemara, by the way, mentions in Bava Basra, we're going to have it soon in the Ein Yaakov Shir, that Rabbi Baba Chana one time was in the desert, and he saw the people who had passed away in the Midbar, and he tried to take along one of their tzitzis in order to examine it later, and he couldn't leave there because the Arab guide who took him there told him that you can't take anything from them. But afterwards, when he came back, the Chachamim criticized him and said, fine, you couldn't have brought back one of those tzitzis, but at least you should have examined it right there to see whether it had three or four strings, and then we'd know whether, like the Shammai, whether they follow the Shammai or the Sillel. Continues the Braisa. The Kamate Mishuleshes, how far down should the strings be hanging? Should the loose strings of the tzitzit be hanging? Shammai says four etzbos, the Sillel says three etzbos. Now there's different opinions among the Rishonim what the Gemara means exactly by that. Rashi learns that it means the length of the hanging part. On the other hand, Tosfos says that it means the braided part. So then that would mean, in other words, according to Rashi, it would mean that even Beis Shammai holds that even the hanging strings only have to be four etzbos long. According to Tosfos, the part with the windings and the knots should be four etzbos, and then the rest of it, the part that hangs, should be eight etzbos, and that's how we do where our tzitzis are a minimum of 12 etzbos long. So Beis Shammai Imim Arba, Beis Hillel Imim Shalosh. Beis Hillel says it needs to be only three. Beis Shalosh, Beis Hillel Imim, you should know, as far as the three etzbos that Beis Hillel is talking about, when we say etzbos, it means thumb width. It means the sum of which four of them make a tefach, shokol adam, of the average size person. Some people have extra large fingers. But it means, in other words, that a thumb is one fourth of that. There's an enormous amount of discussion among the poskim how exactly we measure these things. And nowadays we have two well-known shittas about the size of the thumb and of the tefach and everything else. You have Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah's opinion that makes the etzba to be about 3/4 inch, and an amma, and then a tefach, which is four of those, would be around 3 inches, and an amma, which is 6 tefachim, would be around 18 or 19 inches, and then you have the shitta of the Chazanish that makes the thumb to be approximately 1 inch, and then the tefach is 4 inches, and the amma is 24 inches, and so forth. So the Sillel, when the Sillel says three, they mean three thumb widths, so they mean 3/4 of a tefach. So Omer HaPapa explains like this. tefach d'oraisa, when you talk about a tefach d'oraisa for any purpose in halacha, where you need a tefach, dalad begudel, it means four thumb widths, shisbektana, or if you're measuring using the pinky, then it's six of them, chomesh betilsa, or it's five of the index finger. Tilsa, but it means the third one, it means, in other words, it's the of the three fingers that are mentioned in the Braisa, the Tosfos Yom Tov explains, the Madani Yom Tov explains we mentioned the pinky, we mentioned the thumb, and then we mentioned another finger, so therefore tilta would mean the index finger, which is between them. I mean, there are different gusos, so whether it means that or whether it means the middle finger. But anyway, so there are four thumbs equals five etzba, which equals six of the little finger of the pinky. Omer Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, here's the halacha. Arba, you do have four strings, like the Shama says. The soich arba, they have to be within four etzbois of the edge of the garment. Or meshaloshes arba, and it has to be the hanging strings, or according to Tosfos, it means that the twisted part, arba should also be four. So in other words, according to Rav Huna, there are three fours in this connection. Four strings of tzitzis doubled over within four etzbois of the edge, and they should be hanging down, or the twisted part should be four etzbois. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says shloisha. Rabbi Yehuda says like Basil, shloisha says shalosh, mishaloshes shalosh, or mishaloshes shalosh. He says it's three, three, and three. Three strings within three etzbois of the corner, and hanging down, or the hanging down according to Rashi, or the part with the windings, it's three etzbois according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Papa, so the Papa says the halacha is a little bit of both. Arba, you have to have four strings like the Shammai, and like Rav Huna. The soch shalosh, but it does have to be within three etzbois of the corner, like Rabbi Yehuda, or meshulashes arba, and it has to be the meshulashes part, the hanging, the loose strings part, according to Rashi, the part with the windings, according to Tosfos, arba should be four etzbois long. So the Gemara says, lememra de islo shiura, are you telling me there's a minimum shear of the length of the tzitzis, or a minimum? I have a contradiction, because the Braisa says tzitzis, when the pasuk says that you have to have tzitzis, ain't tzitzis ela yotze. The word tzitzis means something that sticks out. That's the definition of the word tzitzis. They ain't tzitzis ela mashahu, and the tzitzis only has to be a tiny bit. So even a mashahu would be kosher. Ukvar olav zikne b'shamay v'zikne b'shilol la'aliyas yochanan b'mesera. In fact, one time the elders of b'shamay and the elders of b'shilol went up to the attic of Yochanan b'mesera v'omru, and while they were there in that attic, they discussed this halacha v'omru, and they decided tzitzis ain't mashir. That tzitzis has no shear. So what are you telling me? Three or four it's boys. So my love ain't mashir klal. Doesn't that mean it has no shear at all? And the answer is, no, that's not what it means. Ein l'shir l'mayla, avo yesh l'shir l'mata. It means there's no maximum shear. There is a minimum shear. You can have your tzitzis be as long as you want, except the poskim say you shouldn't have them so long that they drag on the floor. And you should also have, no matter what the size of the tzitzis, you should have l'chatchila, that the hanging strings are twice the length of the wound part. B'di'evit it's fine, but the l'chatchila it should be that way because it looks nicer. But there's no maximum shear. Avo yesh la shear l'mata, but there is a minimum shear because it has to be no less than four etzbois. Now there is also, Rashi does explain, it does mean that we learned before that if the strings got broken afterwards and you have kedei aniva, then it's still kosher. So fine, even kosher doesn't literally mean kosher, but it means that b'di'evit afterwards the tzitzis can be less than four etzbois, but they have to at least be four etzbois to begin with. And the Gemara proves the Eloi Temahachi, if you weren't going to say like that, if you were going to say that it means that there's no minimum size of tzitzis, kayotzebo, then what would you say? The same kind of thing. When the Braisa says lulav ein moshir, that the lulav has no shir, would that mean hochinami de ein moshir klal? Would you mean there's no minimum size of a shir, of a lulav at all? Well, it's not, but we learn in a Mishnah, in Sukkah. Lulav sheyesh b'shloisha tfachim kedelan aneabo, a lulav that's three tfachim long, which is long enough to wave, which the Gemara explains actually what it means is three tfachim that are the same length as the hadassim and arob, which are minimum three, then you have to have an additional tefach above that, at least to be able to wave kosher, then that's the minimum amount to be kosher. So what do you mean then? So what do you mean it has no shield? Ella, All it means is the lulav has no maximum size. It can be as long as you want. Aber yesh leshir the matzah, but it has a minimum size. Hachanami, the same thing with tzitzis. Ein leshir the ma'ila, aber yesh leshir the matzah. It has a, doesn't have a maximum shear, but it does have a minimum shear. So therefore, yes, it has a minimum shear, and according to Beit Shammai, and then we're saying the halacha is like them in this case, that it has to be the shear is at least four etzvos, again, according to Rashi, of the hanging strings, according to Tosfos, of the wound part, has to be a minimum of four etzvos, and then afterwards, if it broke off, then you can have less, you can have today aniva, but no less than that. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk more about the dinim of tzitzis, Beis Hashem.